stress is triggered by other people or circumstances, things out there, many of which we don't have any control over. Other times, it's something we bring on ourselves. Whichever of those two it is, we need to know how to handle stress. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're continuing with the next message in this series called Stress Busters. So let's head into God's Word and look, stay tuned, because in a few minutes I'll be telling you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you lay hold of the quiet confidence and peace that God has planned for you. I wish I could tell you that there is something that you could do to avoid every stressful situation and circumstance in this world. Wouldn't it be fantastic? But it just wouldn't be real, because no matter who we are, where we live, how young or old we are, how rich or poor we are, there are going to be those days when tough, difficult, stressful situations and circumstances arise. Sure, some stressful things are avoidable. We've been talking about those already in this series that I've called Stress Busters. And when it comes to dealing with needless, avoidable stress, I'm definitely all for that. But some stressful situations are totally unavoidable, and they're the ones that we're going to chat about for a few minutes today. Because it seems to me that the trick isn't to hide our heads in the sand and pretend that we can make them go away. The trick is flourishing amidst the stress. Now, you might think that's a crazy idea. Flourishing amidst the stress? Get off the grass. Who are you trying to kid? I know that's what some people are thinking right now. But this isn't my idea. It's something that Jesus came up with. It's something that he said to his disciples right at the most stressful point in his relationship with them. He was soon to be crucified. The plot to kill him was well afoot, and his disciples could feel it. Not only was Jesus threatened, but they were probably wondering, well, are we going to be next? When they come to arrest Jesus and nail him to a cross, are they going to do the same to us? There can't be any greater level of stress than that. So right at that point, right at that moment, this is what Jesus says to them. The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said this to you so that you may have peace. In this world, you will face tribulation, but take courage. I have conquered the world. John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. So the persecution is coming. They're about to be scattered, running in fear for their lives. And Jesus tells them, in this world, you will face persecution. The original Greek word there that sits at the back of the English translation for persecution is thlipsis. It means pressure, stress. Literally, it means to have the life squeezed out of you. Oh, just fantastic, Lord, they must have been thinking. Thanks for that. Just what we needed to know. A promise from God right in the moment when we're in fear of our lives. And Jesus tells us, in this world, you will have the life squeezed out of you. Perfect. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. He goes on to say, but take courage, be of good cheer, don't worry, because I have conquered the world. All this I've said to you so that in me you might have peace. Peace, the exact opposite of stress. Which would you rather have in your life, peace or stress? Well, peace, obviously. But here's the nub of what Jesus is saying. You can have that peace right in this place where the life is being squeezed out of you. Did you get that? Jesus is saying, look, you won't always be able to avoid the pressure. In fact, one thing's for certain, you will have pressure. You will feel squeezed. But in the middle of that, you can have confidence and peace because I've overcome the world. Something they would just see in a few short days later when Jesus rose from the grave and appeared to them. And friend, that's his message for you today. I love how this powerful truth works its way out in the life and the ministry of Paul the Apostle, who down the track had more than his fair share of pressure. Have a listen to what he writes from out in the field, out on assignment, preaching the good news of Jesus into a hostile world. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we could not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again, as you also join in helping us by your prayers, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. There it is again. The same word that Jesus used for persecution, that exact same word, thlipsis, unbearably crushed, so that in their despair they thought they were going to die. You'd call that serious stress, right? And yet in the middle of all that, what gave them strength and peace? They relied on God. They trusted in him. They were at the end of their tether. They had nothing left. Life itself hung in the balance. So they did the only thing that they could do. That's what happens, especially, let me say, when we're in the business of getting out there and doing God's business, serving God. I find it to be true that whenever I'm serving God, opposition comes thick and fast. The more powerfully I feel called to step out and serve my Lord, the more powerfully Satan hurls opposition my way. It's as though the armies of hell muster in opposition and they unleash all their fury. I remember once, it was the first time I was to lecture at my old Bible college where I'd been taught. It was a Thursday evening, and I drove off from my home. And before I'd gone half a kilometre, three different vehicles had tried their darndest to run into me. What's going on? I thought to myself. And then I realised, that's what happens when you're serving Jesus. Opposition, disruption, stress, pressure, they all get hurled at you from every direction. So let's not be amazed. It happened to Jesus. It happened to Paul. It's going to happen, guaranteed, to you and to me. It's exactly what Jesus promised. In this world, you will have flipsis. You will have tribulation. You will have the life squeezed out of you. But be of good cheer. Be confident. Don't be stressed. Because I've overcome the world. And you know something? He has. Our confidence in those places, at those times, needs to be in Jesus. In him alone. Sometime later in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 8 to 15, Paul puts it like this. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So, death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with the Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Friend, the message is clear. In this world, you will have tribulation. But don't worry, because right in that place, Jesus is there, and he'll carry you through. And when I've had nothing left in the tank, that's the only thing that's carried me through. Jesus. Let your confidence be in him and in him alone. Now that's what I call a stress buster. I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you live in the quiet confidence and peace that God has ready and waiting for you. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day, and it's completely free. To get instant access, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. Now, we all know that there's good and evil in this world. And at a personal level, evil can be tempting at times. It really can. The problem is that as sure as night follows day, you start dabbling in evil and stress will start to fill your life. Evil seems like a strong word, doesn't it? I mean, by and large, you and I don't think of ourselves as evil people. We're not a murderer or a rapist or a child abuser. Well, 99.99% of us aren't. And so the word evil seems just a tad strong. I'm guessing you know the story of Adam and Eve. God put them in the Garden of Eden. They had a fantastic life. They could do whatever they wanted, except eat the fruit of one of the trees in the garden. That's all. I don't think there was anything particularly special about the tree. No magic potions, no hallucinogens in the fruit. It's just that God nominated this one tree to give Adam and Eve a choice, either to obey him or not. God always gives us a choice. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what was the tree called? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Where evil is defined as anything that rebels against God. You see, up until the point that Adam and Eve ate the fruit from that tree, they had no idea what evil was. It may have been a concept, but they'd never experienced it in their lives. They didn't know it. They had no knowledge of it, and God warned them. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may eat freely of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you will die." Verses 15 to 17 of chapter 2 of the book of Genesis. They couldn't say that they didn't know, right? But then the serpent tempted them, and Eve made the first move. So when the woman saw that the tree was in fact good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make someone wise, she took of its fruit, and she ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was there with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Genesis 3, verses 6 and 7. Would you say at that moment, when they for the first time knew for themselves the difference between good and evil, that they were stressed? I think so. Because the very next thing that they do is to hide from God when they hear him coming in the garden. Just think about how silly that is. But eventually God found them, and the consequences of their actions were devastating. To the woman, he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man, he said, "Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Then the Lord God, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a sword flaming and turning to guard the way to the tree of life. Now again, would you say that this evil that they'd done in God's sight caused them stress? Absolutely it did. And it was a stress that lasted for the rest of their lives. Well, right there you have it. Whenever you and I rebel against God, it is going to cause us pain and stress. I don't care what it is we do to rebel against him, but there are going to be consequences, serious consequences. A husband doesn't cherish his wife. A wife doesn't honor her husband. Stress? You betcha. A man decides that his life is all about making money and being wealthy, so he chases after riches and sacrifices everything. Stress? Well, let's take another look at what may well be a very familiar passage to you. "But those who want to be rich will fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. That's what I call stress. Well, what about anger and dissension and strife, backbiting, dishonesty? Well, the works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like those. I'm warning you, says Paul, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. Now that passage tells us that all that stuff is going to end in some serious stress. For those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But from experience, we know that all of those things will also create stress here and now. Strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, all that jazz. Would you like to work in a place that has one of those things happening? Factions and dissensions, for example. Maybe you do. Well, that's what you call a stressful workplace. Would you like to live in a family where one member is constantly drunk? Anyone who has will tell you that that causes tremendous stress. You're getting the picture, right? Sin, sorry to put that word up there, but that's what God calls it. Or if you'd prefer evil, perhaps. Evil always results in stress. That's the bottom line. It promises a lot up front. It's so seductive. But it only ever delivers us stress and trouble. Some people, and maybe you're one of them, I'm being very direct here, kind, but direct. Some people are wanting to hang on to some bit of evil in their lives, some particular sin, and rationalize it away as though it was nothing. But it's like a thorn in their flesh. It causes them stress and pain over and over again. I am not going to forgive her for doing that to me. Okay, don't forgive her. But you're going to suffer the stress of unforgiveness for as long as you care to hang on to that sin. My friend, if you want to rid your life of unnecessary stress, then the quickest and easiest way of getting started is to root out the sin in your life, to pull it up by the root and throw it out. The moment you forgive, the moment you deal with your pride, the moment you stop quarreling with people at work and stirring up trouble, the stress in your life starts to subside. Why? Because God only labels something as evil, as sin, if it's going to hurt us. Get rid of the sin. It stops hurting. It's that simple. The only question is, what are you waiting for? I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Life is full of pressures and fears. We can't change that. But stress, well, that's simply our reaction to those pressures and fears, and that we can change, absolutely. That's why I'd love to send you a copy of our latest life application booklet called The 5 Ways to Eliminate Stress. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live a life of quiet, confidence, and peace. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Well, we've been talking about circumstances, and we've been talking about sin, both of which cause us a lot of stress from time to time. But this isn't just some theory lesson. So let's dive in now and take a look at those two things in your life. If you had to sum up your life right at the moment, where you're at, what you're feeling, the things that are causing you to stress out, the amount of pressure and stress that you feel under, what would you say? In 25 words or less, where are you at in your life when it comes to stress, anxiety, fear, and uncertainty? Is the picture that you'd paint me a bright and sunny one, a bit overcast, or maybe there's a great storm raging? I guess what I'm trying to do here is to hold up a mirror and get you to take a look at your life. Yourself, your stress levels. Stress is a bit like a chronic disease. Well, actually, for many people, it is a chronic disease. I was listening to an interview on the radio just the other day of a man who had kidney disease. In the 12 months leading up to its diagnosis and treatment, he started noticing the symptoms, but being a typical male, he didn't go to the doctor. You know how it is. You're busy, you're focused on this or that, and this little symptom niggles away at you over here, and then it seems to go away, and then another one happens over there, and it's kind of incremental. It builds up really slowly over time. After a while, he realized something was wrong, but he still didn't go to the doctor. So by the time he was feeling really sick and had it checked out, he was actually seriously ill. It's sometimes like that with the stress in our lives, tossing and turning at night, not feeling happy, this, that. But when you're busy, you kind of brush it aside, and all the time the stress is building up until something snaps. That's why people have breakdowns. That's why relationships are torn apart. Most of us don't cut a pretty picture when we're under a lot of stress. It's not good for us, and it's not good for the people around us. So how are you going? Are you noticing that things aren't what they should be? Are you burning the candle at both ends, wondering, why am I so tired? Are you letting certain people get to you? Are money worries worrying you? Come on, what is it that's been niggling away there in your life, in your heart, in your mind, bubbling away under the surface, and you've been trying to ignore it desperately, but the more you try to ignore it, the worse it seems to get. And as we sit here and speak about it now, you're really beginning to realize, you know what, something isn't right. I'm dealing with this stress, and I've been trying to ignore it, and this is not right. God is a really practical God. You don't have to read very far in the Bible to discover that. And he is vitally interested in dealing with the stress in your life. Take Psalm 55. It's all about the treachery of a friend. Here it is in a nutshell, verses 20 and 21. My companion laid hands on a friend and violated a covenant with me, with speech smoother than butter, but with a heart set on war, with words that were softer than oil, but in fact were drawn swords. It's not very nice, but it happens, and it causes stress. See how God deals with really practical stuff that happens in our lives? Just as he was interested in the plight of King David back then, who wrote that psalm, he's interested in your plight, in your circumstances, and in your stress. And the solution to that stress comes in the very next verse of that psalm, verse 22 of Psalm 55. And that's what I'd like to leave you with this week. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Isn't that beautiful? Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And that's what I want to encourage you to start doing this week. God wants to help carry your heavy loads. God wants to lighten your load. God wants to be part of the solution to eliminating stress and bringing peace into your life. Friend, listen to it again. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Come on, where are you at in your life? What stress are you grappling with? What are you struggling with? And you're kind of thinking to yourself, I just can't cope with it anymore. I've been dealing with this for so long. I've been struggling in this relationship for so long. I've been struggling with this problem at work for so long. I've been struggling with my money problems for so long. I just can't deal with it anymore. Friend, we are often going to be under pressure. Pressure is often something we cannot avoid. Stress is our reaction to the pressure. Stress is what we do with the pressure. When you're lying there at night, turning it over in your mind, struggling, worrying, imagining all the bad things that can happen, Jesus is in that dark place with you. Jesus, who gave peace to his disciples, is in that dark place with you. The Jesus that wants to bring peace to you is in that dark place with you. Cast your burdens on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. That is a beautiful truth. If you're struggling with some dark thing at the moment and you don't know how to deal with the stress, I want to take you and encourage you to read Psalm 55 this week. Maybe read nothing else. Just spend your time in Psalm 55 day after day after day and experience the love and the power and the mercy of your Lord Jesus Christ. And in our next program, in fact, the next two programs in this series called Stress Busters, we'll be discovering exactly how to do that. Where? Well, in the Bible, of course. God's love letter to you. So I'm really looking forward to catching up with you again next time around. Remember, cast your burdens on the Lord. He will sustain you. Well, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact in your life, to bring His joy and His peace and His power into you. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.